looking at the Limón work on the program, The Unsung. Mm-hmm. Talk us through some of the underpinnings of the movement and what the challenges have been for, what are the students saying about this?
It's a piece for eight men, and it's completely in silence. So there is no music, so to speak, that's being played through a sound system or by musicians and instruments. The music really lies in the choreography and in the dance itself. The dance is a dedication and homage to the spirit of the Native American people and the struggles that they had to overcome and went through. So I think Jose looked for inspiration to some of the chiefs of the tribe, specifically eight particular chiefs. Metacomet, Pontiac, Tecumseh, Red Eagle, Black Hawk, Osceola, Sitting Bull, and Geronimo. So those were his sources of inspiration. And he created a dance using these eight men. It opens with a seven-minute ensemble section where all eight men dance together in silence. There's a lot of rhythm. There's a lot of stamping of the feet on the ground, a lot of traveling in unison in space and shifts of groups, different group formations through the space. And at the end of that seven-minute ensemble section, they all part and leave one man, and he dances a solo. The others come back in. There's a small transition. They leave another man. He does a solo, another transition. They leave and another solo until all eight men have each done a solo. Okay. And so it starts with an ensemble work, and then there are eight solos that follow, and that's the end.
No music?
No music.
That just seems like that would be so incredibly challenging. Just the timing of it. Mm-hmm. How do they, especially when they're doing ensemble work, what are the cues? What are the visual cues? Well, how do they make it work?
We're studying that. It's really the cue is through the breath and through the rhythm of the breathing and of the movement. So they have to really be sensitive to listening to each other, feeling themselves, being calm. There's definitely a big tendency to rush and allow the tempos to start speeding up because it is very rhythmic. It's very rhythmic and it's counted. And they have to know all of that, and they have to stay very grounded in themselves to perform it.
Franchon, the idea of being relaxed at a time when you know you're going to have to call on these muscle groups to do phenomenal things, how do you strike that balance, or what do you tell yourself as a dancer to allow for the flexibility you need, but it's still the rigidity to do these remarkable things?
Well, when you step on stage, you forget all of that. Hopefully you have enough muscle memory that you can just be in the moment and the muscle memory takes over and you can be there emotionally and with the music, one with the music. And if you do the really hard work, then the performance is the reward. And it's really through muscle memory and habits.
Wow, that's really interesting. No, I mean, it's fascinating for me because, I mean, muscle memory has always amazed me because, you know, like even in performance situations where your mind is 1,000 miles away and yet the notes keep coming out. Again, I'm thinking of my little clarinet here.
Right.
But in terms of these things, the stakes are so high. I mean, you make one mistake and you're out of a career. I mean, it's
I wouldn't go to that extreme. But,
okay. There's
so many. Yeah, but there is a lot of competition and... Yeah, you really can't go there when you're performing, obviously. You have to be in the moment, and the body just takes over from memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you stand outside of yourself and criticize yourself, you're done.
There's no time to do that.
Well, there can be time, but it's like suicide. Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, or else your lip does start to quiver.
Yeah.
I would say to an opera singer, if they were in a moment in a performance where they had to hit that high C, don't think about hitting the high C. Think about the word or the thing that you were singing about. Focus on that, and the C will come out.
And yet to do that, I guess it just comes back to the repetition, the muscle memory, and the confidence that, okay, I put in the work. I've done the woodshedding.
Confidence,
yeah. Let's see. We didn't talk about Beach Birds. Is somebody else working with the students on that one?
Trish Lent is going to be coming in from the Cunningham Company to set the Cunningham piece Beach Birds on, I don't know, how large is that cast? I can't remember. I think 10 or 12 dancers.
Yeah, it looked like about 12 dancers online.
Yeah, I think so.
That's such a weird piece. I mean, have you guys seen it?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my God.
I can imagine.
That guy was, I mean, where does he fall in terms of, obviously, these people came after him, the Mark Morrises, the Bill T. Jones, and Pina Bausch, great, you know, really interesting stuff. But where does he fall in that group? And who influenced who most, John Cage influencing Merce or Merce influencing John Cage?
Well, theirs was a true collaboration, I think. Merce actually danced with Martha Graham.
That's right. Yeah.
So he got his start with her, although he went in a very different direction. He's probably one of the most influential dance artists, certainly, of our time. He really took things in a completely new direction. And then the Judson Church eras took things in another direction after him. I think he wanted to remove the ego, his own personal ego, from his art-making process, he and John Cage both. So hence they started working with their chance methods. And I think he created a technique so that he could still be very, very precise with his choreography and get exactly what he wanted in terms of the architecture and the structure and the shape of it. But I think he was trying to remove the emotional element and the ego from his art-making. So he was following artists like Marcel Duchamp and people like that who were really getting into questioning what is the nature of art and the difference between art and life, art and nature. You know, where are the differences? Where are the similarities?
Yeah, this piece is so amazing. It's fascinating to watch. And just first off, it's completely bird-like, and yet you don't know why it is necessarily. And then you realize, oh, that timed jump on the dime of this aleatoric gesture, you know, this really sparse music from John Cage and Rain Stick. But then all of a sudden, they'll just do a little gesture, and it's just... Oh, that's why you're Merce Cunningham. That was so beautifully bird-like, and yet in that cool kind of egoless way. I mean, there's no moment
yeah,
there.
There's no angst. There's no drama. Yeah. There's no personality necessarily attached to it.
Yeah, but it's
like,
great.
Like birds.
Exactly. We didn't talk about the age group. So this is it really a combination of both? I'm from high school and college, these dancers? Mm-hmm. What's that like in the different age groups like that? Or is it not a big deal?
It's not a big deal, actually. I don't find it. Do you find it?
No, I don't find it.
Interesting. They're just...
They're students. They're dancers.
Yeah. The high school students here are very mature. They're very driven. They know what they want. They know that it's going to be very difficult to get what they want. They're very used to putting out 150% in everything that they do, not only their dance classes, but their academics as well. So they're highly responsible, highly motivated, highly reliable. They actually, I think, teach the college students a lot.
How about that?
Yeah.
You better be on your toes.
Yeah.
And in terms of the design and production, are you all working with the set designers at all, or is it pretty much that's their own baby?
Our set was designed previously when we did this 3 years ago, Act Two, and Dean Stiefel at that time worked with the set designer.
Hey, what didn't we talk about with Spring Dance that you all would like to?
Larry Kegwin's going to be setting a piece in a week. It's actually a piece that he created here on our students and his company. And so he's going to come back and he's going to recreate it just for the students. It's called Kingdom. And I think it's a cast of about 20 or 30 people. It's huge. It's this massive cast. And it's pretty crazy. It's out there. It's really fun. It's very inventive and not in a palabolas way, if you know who I'm talking about.
Sure, sure.
And not in a circus way, but it has that kind of almost an acrobatic element, but in a more playful sense. And it's just big. It's very lively. It's going to close the show. It's a very, very strong work.